Let's open up our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First 8 verses, it talks about sexual purity. So let's read together 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and in honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your word for us today, and thank you so much for bringing us together again. Thank you so much for taking us through many, many months of isolation, of loneliness, of uncertainties, oh God, and thank you so much for giving us hope, giving us strength, strengthening our faith, oh God, growing us, shaking us up a little bit so that you'd give us more strength, Lord. Thank you so much for leading us and guiding us through every day. Lord, we continue to trust in you, and as we've been singing, we do surrender completely to you, God. Our hearts are open, hungering and thirsting for your minds, ready to receive, ready to be transformed, ready to grow, God. Our bodies to honor and glorify you, God. As you guide us through this journey, Lord, it is your will that we be sanctified, that we daily set ourselves apart for you and for you alone. That these bodies of ours that you created, you did for yourself. Our minds, our hearts, everything about us, you did create to glorify your name. Lord, we know how sin came in and ruined everything that you created. Darkness came in. Lord, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and on the cross, he washed our sins away. Lord, now we commit ourselves to living to please you, fully pleasing to you, O God, walking with you. Wherever you lead us, Lord, we want to go. Lord, I pray that you may continue healing our country and healing this world, drawing everyone to yourself, especially through seasons like this. Lord, you who uses everything to work out for your good, may you use everything we've suffered for good, O God. Glorify your name among us, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So let me ask one question. When and where did you ever discover sex? For the most part, school. For some, from peers, books, the media, TV, the internet. In our culture, you learn about that from your aunties, right? The singer, like the experts in that field. But in God's original creation, we are supposed to learn about sex from the Bible and at home before we discover it anywhere else, from his word and at home, from our parents. Now, you know that is taboo in our culture. We don't talk about sex. Now, I can tell some of you are already uncomfortable. All right, by the end of the service, I think we'll all be comfortable. So let's go back to the fall. Way before the fall, God created everything perfect, beautiful. There was nothing that God created that was not good. And sex was part of God's creation for reproduction and for pleasure. And for us who are married, we can say comfortably and confidently that it is good. Amen, marrieds? Even the marrieds are uncomfortable, you can imagine. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on earth. That was his way for us to reproduce. Now, you grow up to discover, maybe like I did, how there was a tale that sex was the forbidden fruit. And that tale still goes on. So if it was, how on earth was Adam and Eve supposed to reproduce? So the tale is wrong. It's just a view of sex that is completely distorted. I had a class, and we were a biblical counseling class, and we were talking about sex and how I told them a story of this lady who got married. I think maybe they skipped the sex part in premarital counseling, or maybe they didn't go through any premarital counseling.
And she thought sex was wrong in marriage.
So the guy was anticipating pleasure and fun and reproduction, and the girl like, oh, bad manners. That's the first impression of God, right? Bad manners. How did God's beauty become bad manners? Because of sin. And because of, obviously, our sinful cultures, our view of sex. It was created for pleasure. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Only human beings have sex for pleasure. Animals, insects do it just to reproduce. Can you imagine? So they don't even know what it is to actually enjoy. They're just like, let's have babies. And lots of other sub-reasons from those major two. And in reproduction and pleasure, it is glorifying God. Well, what happened after the fall? Satan's strategy is often to do all that he can to encourage sex outside marriage and to discourage sex in marriage. And if you're here for the marriage conference, Jeff and Bodhi highlighted that. Before you get married, the enemy wants you to have sex, including your flesh. After you get married, one of the problems that married suffer is sexlessness. They lose interest. And obviously it is the enemy's strategy, and obviously it's just a selfishness. And then all forms of sexual sin came in. Fornication, sex before marriage, adultery, sex outside marriage, prostitution, commercial sex, incest, sex with relatives, pedophilia, children, masturbation, pleasing oneself, homosexuality or lesbianism, same sex, it's a big thing around the world right now, bestiality, rape, pornography, and all other forms of sexual sin. And Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he also writes to the Corinthians about sexual purity. He said, you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk. Among many instructions Paul gave was the instruction to be sexually pure. In a sexually polluted world, the Roman Empire was completely immoral. And that's actually why they disintegrated. And one of the immoralities was sexual sin. And that still thrives in our society today. For example, pornography is billions of dollars worth of an industry. We ought to walk to please God, Paul writes. And he reminds them of the commandments that he gave them through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you be set apart, that you should abstain from sexual sin, that each one of us should know how to handle our bodies in righteousness and holiness. We learned about that last week, that none of us should pollute ourselves with sexual sin. In fact, in another place, Paul says, you know what? All the other sins are outside your body. Sexual sin is one that defiles your body, corrupts our bodies. This is the will of God. You often ask God, what is your will for me? A few places, the Bible clearly states the will of God for us. And one of them is that we stay sexually pure. We stay set apart for the Lord. That each one of you should know how to possess your vessel in holiness, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. Our walk with God, our walk to please God is such that we are different in our conduct. Our conduct is dominated with our commitment to righteousness. Our conduct cannot be dominated by sin as those who follow God. Now, there is so much that the Bible teaches about sex, and we look at that when we get to Song of Solomon. Have you read it? Some of you are like, Pastor, just keep going. No side stories, no jokes. This is serious business. Some of you don't even want to turn and look at your neighbor, right? The person is sitting like, this is not church, right? So we even get uncomfortable talking about God's righteousness in sex and church. You can imagine how our minds have to be washed and purified. And I remember when Pastor Brian taught through the Bible and he got to the Song of Solomon. You know what happened? Church was full. Everybody was uncomfortable, but everybody came to church. We're going to get there. We're going to, after 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, we'll go to Deuteronomy and walk our way into Song of Solomon. And you don't have to wait until then, right? Just keep coming to church. Keep coming to church. But the Bible has a whole lot of teaching on sex and romance, and we don't even know it. We don't grow up with that information, and You know, the girls are thinking, these Christian boys just know the Bible, right? They're so boring. They don't even know how to date. Right, girls, right? True? Yeah, they don't know romance. I should write a book on romance, Christian romance. They just walk to a girl and I want to marry you, and the girl is like, really? Go talk to the pastor, you know. And then we get know about romance in the movies, Hollywood, and you've seen how that doesn't work. All those celebrity marriages and relationships, it's just for the movies. And then we end up in sexual sin because we get information about sex from the wrong sources. We end up in sin. Well, thankfully, God had a plan to redeem his creation. He sent Jesus Christ to effect his righteousness upon us. And then we discover that there's actually sex in the Bible. And I'll give you about 5 steps towards sexual purity. The first one is run away from it. Run. Remember Joseph? When there was temptation, when there's opportunity for him to engage in sex with somebody's wife, he ran. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God lives in us. When he came into us, he said, I'm going to live there. You are my house. Who wants to live in a clean house? I have a nephew. He lived in his own room. When you went in his own room, you're thinking, this guy has the highest gravitational pull around his room. Everything was on the ground. Everything. Cups, plates, clothes, shoes, books. The only thing that was off the ground was his bed. And you're thinking, you live in here, do you? I mean, who wants to live like that? And the people who can be clean on the outside, very neat in dressing, wait until you pay them a visit. It's one of you, right? You laughed. You know yourself, right? Like, what happened? You meet the guy, you know the guy, and then you're like, oh, could you please come home? Or you kind of just crash their home, right? And you're thinking, praise the Lord. You, who wants to live in a polluted environment? Is that sin or what? None of us in our right minds, we just get lazy and complacent and just careless for us to live in a dirty environment. But God comes in our house, this body, and he says, I want it clean, inside out. Do not pollute yourself with sin. Not any sin, and we're obviously talking about sexual sin particularly, but not any sin should stain us. Sin doesn't have to have dominion over us. He writes in the book of Romans, and he said, sin shall not. You should not allow it. There's a promise there that sin will not overcome us. We will be victorious in the end. But there's also a warning that we should do everything possible to not allow ourselves to be stained with sin. He says their sexual sin is not any other sin. It is sin against your own body. And he says, remember, you are bought at a price. The priceless blood of Jesus Christ purchased you. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God through the cleanliness of your body. Take a shower. You know, taking a shower is actually righteousness before the Lord. Don't pollute yourselves with sex. To be faithful, if you're married, be faithful to your partner. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. That's what he writes there from verse 6 onwards. No one should take advantage of you or defraud his brother or sister in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all such. Sodom and Gomorrah was judged because of sin, and many other places in the Bible and in our day. So many diseases, infections, and some are even incurable, are primarily because of sexual sin. Be faithful. 3, guard your heart and mind. If you're single, guard your heart and mind. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 26 to 28. My son, give me your heart. And let your eyes observe my ways, for a harlot is a deep pit and a seductress is a narrow well. Young people, guard your hearts and minds from seduction. It's a pit, it's a deep pit, the Bible warns. And in the romantic book of Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 5, charge you daughters of Jerusalem, all you sons of Jerusalem, do not stir up nor awaken love until pleases. Wait until you have found somebody or somebody has found you and walk your way, be married, and glorify God. 4, keep godly company. For most of us, we got information about sex from our peers, our older peers, maybe age mates. I remember, as naive as I was in senior 2, I think I was 15, there's a guy who was my age who would bring pornographic magazines in school. This was in 1995. You're thinking, Pastor, you're old. Yes, I am. In senior 2, 15 years, a guy was a teenager. He would steal his dad's magazines. And for some of us, that's how we discovered there's a thing called sex. We got in trouble for that in school. Let's keep godly company. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And he's writing to Christians. He's not writing to non-Christians. His letter to the Corinthians. He is writing to Christians who are keeping ungodly company. It's very common for us to be influenced by non-Christians, because the Christian boys are not really charming. What happened to Christian girls? They end up being seduced by the charming non-Christians. Watch your company. Let us watch our company. Now, all of us live in a world that is not perfect. We may have sinned. We may have been victims of some form of sexual harassment. 5, turn away. Now, these are very private sins that we commit sexually, but we've had interactions with so many who have courageously come out and they needed help, and there was help. But the first step is to turn away from it. If you are a perpetrator of sexual harassment or a victim, obviously victims, we're going to come to that, but if you're a perpetrator of any sexual sin, please turn away, repent. In John chapter 8, verse 11, remember the story of the woman caught in adultery, and they only brought the woman. Now, we've seen all the forms, different forms of sexual sin. All of them were punishable by death in the law. All of them. You know why God did that? Because he wanted to effect righteousness among them. And if you're caught in sexual sin, there's evidence, the adulterer, the fornicator, the adulteress, whoever it is, stoned to death so that the land is not defiled. And in John chapter 8, verse 11, she said, "No one, Lord, who condemns you?" She was about to be stoned. Now you know the story. The guys only brought the woman. Did she commit adultery with herself? No, there was a man involved. Where was the man? Her accusers protected the man. She committed adultery. She has to be stoned. Well, Jesus was like, "Where is the man?" And they walked away. Because the man and the woman had to be stoned. Who accuses you? No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Jesus did not come to condemn us. He came to forgive and cleanse. And if we have in any way been involved in sexual sin, just turn away from it. Let's sin no more. Let's take some steps. And if you have a problem, please come approach us. It's very private. It's very confidential. We will walk this journey together to freedom. There are those who are so much in bondage to this sin. Please come. Take some courage. The devil wants you to stay in darkness. God wants you to come out in light so that you're freed from it. And for those who have suffered some or any form of sexual harassment, God can heal. He does heal. And you've had stories, and I think the one who shares her story most is Joyce Ma. She talks about how she suffered sexual violence from her dad. In neighboring Congo, it's called the world capital of rape, Eastern Congo. Almost 70% of the women there are raped by the militia, by all kinds of people. lots of rape stories, especially from India. There are less, I think, and China too. There are less less women than men. There are more men. There's actually a story I read where these two men, there's a word for it. It's two men who married one woman. So this happens around us. And if you've been a victim, please, maybe you're still suffering the trauma or anything related to that. God wants to heal and redeem that. And God can use that story to strengthen somebody else who may suffer the same. We may often ask why God has allowed us to suffer or to be victims of any kind of harassment. But God can heal that and use it to counsel somebody else who suffered the same. So I encourage you, if that is you, please come forward. Not here, come to my office during the week. Call me and we will talk. God does not want you to live in that trauma. He wants you to be freed from that, to be healed completely. And God wants you to use that story to encourage somebody else who has suffered. So 5 steps, run, be faithful. Remember back in the day when there were the ABCs, abstinence, be faithful. I don't want to talk about the C. Remember what the C was? No, I don't remember. I forgot, sorry. The ABCs, and I remember, I think it was Martin Semper who had this drive of abstinence. Remember signing those true love weights? We need to get those back. I need to print some, and you know, we give it to our young people, and they make a covenant to step here. And remember, my wife, I discovered she had signed it. I also signed it. So our first night as a married couple, both of us had the cards. Now where do we start here? Be faithful. Abstain. First and second, be faithful. Guard your heart and mind. Whether you're married or single, you've had recently the story of a respectable Christian leader caught in sexual sin. Not so good. Maybe you've read about the scandal with Ravi Zacharias, a prolificent guy had a mind, defended the faith with so much wit and so much grace and so much wisdom, but a very stained track record because of sexual sin. Ideally, the whole ministry is just going to close down and that's it. If he had guarded his heart and mind, I'm sure it would be a completely different story. Keep good godly company. Keep godly company. Let's create a Christian community that is committed to godliness. You know, as much as I do, that the more you keep company with non-Christians, somehow they pull you away from God. In fact, you've been here in the last 2 weeks, maybe you missed out Pastor Jeff being here. He encouraged me to be evangelistic every Sunday, and he says this is why, because you may not be able to preach, right? And you know, the pastor does preach. Invite your non-Christians to church. If you can't preach them, just invite them to church. I'm going to preach to them. And every Sunday I'll be making an invitation for them to receive the Lord if there's any. Keep godly company. If there are non-Christian friends that you have, business partners, whoever it is, please invite them to church. God's will is for them to hear the gospel and be saved. Turn away, repent, and turn away from it. Go sin no more. And if you've suffered any form of violence and you're still traumatized, please come, let's talk, let's pray, let's walk through some steps to recovery and to victory. And God gives us victory over any sin. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for calling us to holiness and righteousness. Thank you so much for giving it to us through washing us by your blood. But if we reject, like Paul writes, if we reject this commandment, then we haven't rejected just man, we have rejected you. We receive all these instructions, oh God. Thank you so much for coming and dying on the cross, because on the cross you came to heal us from any sin, any form of sin. There's no sin that cannot be washed by your blood. There's no sin that can keep away your righteousness from coming in. Where sin abounded, your grace abounded even the more. And as Paul writes to the Thessalonians, is writing to us, you are communicating to us that we may abound even more in this call to please you and to walk in righteousness. This is your will for us, that we live clean. So Lord, forgive us. Heal our minds and hearts. Guide us in your way everlasting. Lord, may you heal those who have suffered any form of violence, have been victims. Maybe they're hurting privately, and Lord, may you heal them. May you use their stories to be comfort and counsel to others. may suffer the same. The enemy's mission was to kill, steal, and destroy. Lord, you came to give life and life more abundantly. And Lord, you're still reaching out to many who are in their sin. And if there's anyone here who hasn't given their life to you, Lord, you want them in heaven with you. So if there's anyone here who has not given their life to Christ and you'd love to do that, you can do that today. Lord, thank you so much that you've spoken to our hearts, given us instructions. You have taught us with the help of your Spirit. May we continue surrendering to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.